Chair, we are live.
Okay, thank you, committee. I'd like to call the committee back into order after recess. Thank you, clerk. The time is... And the time is 2:53. Okay, clerk. Okay, going back next to our, back to our agenda. We have two more items. The next item is an update from the Osage Nation Foundation. And we have with us today Director Mr. Bill Webb. And we have board members, Ms. Julie O'Keefe and Ms. Willena Fields Quitom. So who is going to speak today, Bill? You want to start off? Okay, thank you.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation to be here. If you don't mind, I'm going to stick close to my notes because I have a few facts and figures I want to stay with, and I want to make sure I stay close to the facts. So I want to address a couple of issues today. One is our financial picture for the foundation, and then second, more along the operational activities. So I want to start with a snapshot of our financial situation, our position for the organization. Before I do that, I think it's always helpful to remind people that our mission of the foundation is fairly broad, but when you really drill down to it, our mission is primarily about preserving and promoting Osage culture. And a lot of that happens through our very talented and creative Osages who are local and far and wide. To do that, it takes funding, so that's why I'm going to start this afternoon focused on the finances of the foundation. So last fiscal year, our revenue was approximately $335,000. This year, we're at $264,000 through 6 months. Last fiscal year, we funded 60 charitable grants at approximately $81,000 total. This fiscal year so far, we funded 39 charitable grants at $58,000, right, almost $60,000. As a note of those grants, the maximum amount you can apply for is $3,500. So they're fairly consistent, usually anywhere from about $250 or $500 up to that $3,500 range. The assets of the foundation currently are $12.8 million on our balance sheet, but of that, about 11.7 is the value that was placed on the Freeman Ranch that was donated to the foundation several years ago, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute. We have currently over just over $1.1 million in cash, although about $600,000 of that is restricted. Those are donations that have been made to the foundation that will eventually go to the museum expansion. So we've been able to raise that money over a period of time. So where does the foundation's revenue come from? Instead of talking individual dollars, I'm going to talk about percentages of where that money comes from. And I'll use round numbers. We'll talk more about this in a minute, but we have the casino roundup program, which has become a very important revenue source for us. That's 35% roughly of our revenue over the last couple of years, and that comes out to about $12,000 a month that we receive from the casino and the roundup program. 32% of our revenue comes from the leases, the ground leases on the Freeman Ranch. And just so you understand that, there are two 30-year leases that were part of the charitable grant agreement that we accepted. We can never sell the ranch, and we will, I'm not going to say we're stuck with the leases because they're very good for us, but we can't do anything with those leases. When we accepted the ranch, we accepted those leases. And of that money, about a third of it goes back into reserve, and that is used for maintenance on the lease. So if we get our payments twice a year, and when we get those, a third of every one of those payments goes back into the bank for future maintenance, repair, and those type things for the ranch itself. Another 15% of our revenue comes from cash donations. Some Osages, but many not. 15% of our revenue comes from outside grants, and 3% of our revenue comes from online gift shop sales. As you would expect, these numbers can vary slightly, but now that we have the Roundup program, these have been pretty consistent over the last couple of years. Just a couple of quick notes. We do receive a small appropriation annually from Congress to pay board stipends and travel for board members, although most of our board meetings are virtual, so we have very little expense there. But that's because those costs, as you all know, are required by statute, and I believe that comes out of the boards and commissions budget from the chief's office. Additionally, something that's fairly new over the past few years, we've had a number of particularly non-Osages reach out who live on land that was once occupied by Osages, and they've expressed an interest in donating those properties to the Osage Foundation when they pass. And obviously that worked with the Freeman Ranch, although that was a very unique situation. Unfortunately, we just haven't found a way to really take those properties. You know, for us to have a 2-acre home place in Missouri somewhere and 1 acre somewhere else, we're not in the real estate business. We can't hold those properties. So we've been going back to those people that are interested in doing it. It's probably 10 to 15 people that have expressed an interest over the last couple of years. And we're trying to negotiate, a strong word, but persuade them that it might be of interest for them to, you know, what they decide to do in their will and testament, we don't have anything to do with, but we're really not in a position to take that property. So what we've asked them to do is consider finding a way to cash out that property and then make a donation to the foundation. So it comes to us in the form of cash instead of property that we have to try to keep up with. So we never know when those opportunities are going to come in the door. We probably have 4 or 5 of them working right now. Some of them may or may not ever come to fruition, but at least that is a potential funding source that's out there. With all that said, I'd like to talk briefly about 4 or 5 things that we have going on, and then any of us can answer any questions you have. I think, as I've already mentioned, and I think everybody in here knows, and certainly Congresswoman Rivard, who was helpful to set this up, we have our Roundup program with the casino, and I'll get to more of that in a minute. But the first thing I'll talk about is our Voices from the Drum exhibit that was first created in 2017. It's been on the road now for about 4 years. We've had 5 exhibitions during that time. Most recently, it's been at the Mid-America All-Indian Museum in Wichita, Kansas. It's produced roughly $30,000 in revenue over time in exhibition fees. Currently, it's off the road, having some much needed refurbishment done to it. When it's shipped that many times, things happen to it. So we're in the process of refurbishing that. And the question is where it goes next. And that leads back to my previous comment about the Roundup program at the casino. We've begun to have some very substantial conversations with casino management, particularly Kimberly and Brian, on how the foundation and the casino can work more closely together from a fundraising standpoint. So currently the Roundup program, I'm sure everybody knows how it works, but the interesting thing is right now it only applies on the gaming floor. It's not in food and beverage. So we are working with the casino to move the Roundup program to where someone eating in one of the restaurants could also round up and make a donation. But that's going to take a technology fix inside the casino operations. But that is something that, as late as last week, the casino leadership indicated that they wanted to make happen. So we're excited about that opportunity. But beyond that, one of the things that we have figured out, and Elena was a part of this conversation, was that there's a little bit of a disconnect between the employees inside gaming who don't really understand what the foundation does, what our mission is. And if a patron says, well, why should I give 90 cents to the foundation? Nobody there is really able to explain that. So Lena went and made a presentation to a group there, but what we really need to do is get that down to the people working on the floor of the casino and at check-in and those type places. So when they're asked about it, they really become, in essence, ambassadors. So that's one of the programs we're working with the casino now. We have another meeting next week with myself and Brian and Kimberly. And then hopefully when we get some things sort of where we think we're ready to talk about it, then the plan is to have our two boards get together and talk about how we can do some of this. One of the things that we also think is important is if we're going to make the foundation a pivotal, you know, part of the corporate responsibility that the gaming has, which is part of their plan, is we need to bring the culture inside the casino. And we know that there's been talk about that, and there are different ways that that might happen. But we're working specifically on how we could bring some of our projects like Voices from the Drum into the various casinos so that there is a real connection between staff, patrons, and what our artists do and what the foundation funds. So we're immediately working on that and hope within the next 30 days to have something to take back to our respective boards on how, for the most part, we can bring culture inside the casinos. And many of the tribes have done it. To some extent, we may have done it, but we've never been able to get traction with past casino leadership on doing this, and now we have it. And then the last thing about the casino is we're working with them. For some of you who have been around for a while, you may remember that we had a gala for a couple of years and a couple of golf tournaments that the foundation put on at the casino in Tulsa and at Tulsa Country Club. And they were somewhat successful from a visibility standpoint, but they simply didn't make much money for us. You know, we'd spend $30,000 putting on a golf tournament that made $5,000 net, and it just didn't feel like it was worth, you know, what we were putting into it to get that out of it. And part of that problem is we never really had the engagement of either the nation or the casino in leveraging their vendors. And that's what it takes to underwrite the cost of it. So the casino has their golf tournament in September, which has traditionally been more of something for employees and more something just within the casino operations. And so we're considering now making that a fundraiser that the foundation would benefit from. And I really think if we can begin down this road, there are going to be other opportunities for us to collaborate with the casino and not make it just something to where we bring visibility to the culture, but also it becomes a significant fundraising opportunity. As we were talking the other day in Kimberly's office, it just kind of came to me, the casino basically is the aquarium, and we have the opportunity to bring the goldfish. I mean, we've got all the work the artists do, we've got the projects, we've got things like Voices from the Drum. If we have a place to put that, then we can bring that into the casino and bring the Osage culture directly to not only the staff, but the customers and patrons who come in there. And then finally, through our board, we've got a number of interesting initiatives we're working on, none that we're really ready to talk about it because they don't always come true when you think big. You know, sometimes those things never happen. But we're trying to be creative. When we first came up with the idea of Voices from the Drum, it seemed large. It seemed bigger than anything the foundation had ever done. And now here we are 7 years later, and we've had that exhibition out on the road for 4 years. So it's an exciting time, and it really leads us to the last thing I would bring up, and that is we were here last week. Congresswoman Rivard was there. And we were part of the meeting over in executive about the new cultural complex, for lack of a better term, the Heritage Center and the museum. And there's been a lot of talk about whether the foundation would be involved in fundraising for that. And we think we're uniquely positioned to be a part of that process. And I think a lot of the decision makers are beginning to see that, but it's also a huge project. I mean, you all know the numbers that are being talked about. it's important. So we were able to articulate our position. Julie was also there, that we would like to be a part of that. We would be willing to take the lead in fundraising, but there has to be a few things that have to happen for that to take place. First of all, there's got to be consensus within the nation's leadership on this project. It doesn't make a lot of sense for us to go out and start trying to raise money when the people here and up on the Hill are not on the same page about the project. So before we can go out and start fundraising, we really need to have that that consensus. We believe it's got to be a realistic number. I mean, who knows what that's going to be, but, you know, probably a minimum of, you know, $40-50 million up to $100 million. I fundraise for a living, and I don't care who you are, that's a lot of money. And it's going to have to come from very sophisticated donors, and we're going to have to take a very sophisticated approach in going out and doing that. So coming up with a realistic number, and obviously all the plans that go behind that, it's going to take a commitment from what part of all that the nation wants to fund. The first thing that we're going to be asked from a potential donor, whether it's corporate or individual or foundation, is, well, how much is the nation putting into this? That's certainly not our decision to be made, but we have to be able to articulate that when we start fundraising. It's going to take some outside resources for us to do this. We simply don't have the bandwidth, and when you start talking of raising money at this level, we'll have to use outside resources. And that will become an issue at the point in time that we're asked to engage. And we haven't been asked yet, and we may not be. But if so, I want to make it very clear that our board believes that we'll need some outside resources to do that. And then one of the last couple of things I would say is that when this does happen, if the foundation's asked to take the lead, it doesn't mean it's the foundation's job to go raise the money. It's going to be everybody's job, from the grants office to members of Congress, either officially or with the connections that you have. Obviously, the executive office, our foundation board members who have donated a substantial amount of money already for the process. It's going to take the involvement of the museum staff. And it's going to involve gaming leadership. Not that we're going to ask gaming to make a donation, but when you look at the amount of money they spend with vendors, and you look at all the construction we have going on in the nation and all the vendors that are benefiting from that, we're going to have leadership engage in leveraging those vendors to come to the table and help pay for this process. So we're talking about very significant dollars and sophisticated donors. To put it clearly, we got to have our act together before we go out and do it. And so we stand ready, but we also feel like for us to say yes to the question, say yes to the dress, then we're going to have to know that we're ready and that we have consensus and that we have a realistic plan. And the last thing I would say about that is it's going to be very difficult to go out, and I can tell you for very pragmatic reasons, to go out and raise $80 or $100 million. But our belief is that this project should be, and when I talk about project, I'm talking about the two projects together that could be funded separately, but really they're looked at collectively, that it really needs to be done in phases. I can tell you as an experienced fundraiser, it's easier to go raise $20 million four times than it is $80 million one time. It's very difficult to go to someone and ask for a private foundation to donate $1 million. The first question they're going to say, well, how much are y'all putting in? We've got to be able to answer that question. And then they say, well, how much are you trying to raise total? Well, $80 million. Well, what happens if I give you this $1 million and the other $79 million doesn't get raised? What happens to my $1 million? We've got to be able to answer those kind of questions. So for very pragmatic reasons, we like the concept of doing these projects in phases so we can go raise money in phases. We think the street, we think our audience would be more open to a project that quite frankly would be more realistic if it was done in phases instead of one gigantic make or break project. So that's really the things that we're focused on. I could give you many more smaller examples, but for the sake of time, I won't go into those. I'll just close by saying this. When we started the Voices from the Drum project, it was big and it was bold, but it fit our mission perfectly. And that's what our board has done a great job of, in my opinion, of staying focused on what our mission is and how it benefits the Osage people to carry out that mission. And I remember the first phone call we had with Rock Pipestem when we asked him to build those 20 drums that wound up going out then to artists and being built and then decorated is a terrible term for it, but treated in a way that each of those artists, it was important to them. And then with work with Marla at the museum and others, it turned into an incredible exhibit that's been out all over the country. But I remember when that started, our total budget for that project was around $120,000. And we didn't have $120,000. We had to go raise it. And at that point in time, we were able to do it. And people ask me from time to time, what's the foundation doing for fundraising? And we are out raising funds. I mean, the $350,000 doesn't fall out of the sky. We have to go make that happen. But we've also adopted a strategy that we need to develop projects and go fundraise for them instead of just raising money and sticking it in the bank and trying to figure out how to spend it. And I think we'll continue that process. And that's why when you take the experience of our board members who say, what about this? What about that? It's less now an issue of whether we can afford to do it and more whether it's important to the Osage people, whether it fits our mission, and whether we have the bandwidth to pull it off. I was hired to help run the foundation. It was 14 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. But in year two, our first year to do it, we had a strategic planning meeting. And we sat around that table that day, and the second thing that was a priority for us in that strategic planning session was to become self-sufficient financially. And it took us a while. It was really about 2018 before we sent the letter to Congress and said, we believe we are now operationally self-sufficient, and we are. And I'm proud of that. I know our board is proud of that, but you're sort of hanging out on the limb by yourself. So there's not a day goes by that we're not focused on fundraising, but it's purposeful fundraising, and we'll continue to do that. Just like if we become involved in the museum and the cultural project, then we'll be very focused on that and specific, knowing that that money goes to that project. It's not just to go in our bank account and see what happens with it. Every year we've been asked to come before Congress and testify. We've been asked when we could pay our own way. And I'm excited. I feel good about the fact that we are there. That doesn't mean that as we go forward, if Congress or anyone in the nation feels like there's a project that the foundation can be a part of and that funding would help make that happen, that we wouldn't be open to that. But we're also focused on paying our own way, and we're doing that on a yearly basis, and we're proud of having done that. So with that, I'll just say to this, we appreciate the support we've had over the years. Every day hasn't been a bucket of roses, but what is? We feel like we go to bed at night believing that what we're doing is right, that it's part of our charter, that it's part of our mission. And we have great board members who help keep me and our operations on track. And believe me, when you know we get the phone calls, whether it's from one of you or someone else, we want to be able to answer affirmatively that we did this for this reason, that it made sense, that it fit our mission. Everybody doesn't have to agree with it, but it does have to be right in our board's mind. And I'm very thankful to our board who has done a great job in helping keep us on that path of doing what's right for the foundation's mission and charter and what's right for the Osage people. So that's a lot of talk in a few minutes, but I did want to get those things out there. And thank you for your past support, and however we can work together in the future, we're excited to do that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Webb. Congressman Keene?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Webb. I'm intrigued by the people wanting to give their land to you guys. So are there people in Oklahoma that are wanting, that have reached out to you regarding this situation?
It's normally not Oklahoma.
It's not Oklahoma.
It's Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, sort of that path, that swath up there. That's where probably 95% of them have come from.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking, how, like, let's say, do you guys ever have an issue where you need an attorney real quick? How do you just use the AG, or do you even have that option available to
you?
Well,
we have counsel because we're a separate 501c3, and we have counsel who has experience in this issue, and we really started working with outside counsel during the Freeman Ranch negotiation because it was pretty complicated. But we have depended on both the real estate department of the tribe and the attorney general. I've fortunately have him on speed dial, and he's very good at giving me, you know, unofficial advice when something comes up.
Yeah, just one last thing. So initially I just said Oklahoma because with the attorneys being licensed here would be easier. But to me, if the party was, you know, obviously we wouldn't want to take the land, but if they're saying, well, if I get the proceeds from the land and want to give it to you, then if we could just have an attorney draw up a, you know, a simple contract, to me that would not be a problem. So I don't really see why, other than the distance from where you see what I'm trying to say?
I do, but we don't have any problem with taking the proceeds. We have a problem with taking the physical property.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
What they want us to do is take the property and hold on to it and maybe make it into a park or something like that. And that just doesn't fit our plan. But that's exactly, our initial response is always, what you decide to do with your land and your property is up to you.
Yeah.
Whether we accept it or not is our decision, and we'll determine how we respond to it. I never tell them we won't do it. But for just to give a very specific example, there is a landowner in Missouri who called and wanted to do it, and she is now, I hope, within a couple of weeks. It was a property of her parents. They passed away, and she was going to donate it to us, and now she has sold it, and we're going to get a considerable amount of the proceeds from that. Now, we're not talking about million-dollar properties, but it's a home site on a couple of acres in southern Missouri. So there are ways to get to it, but there are people who say, well, why don't you just take the land? Well, because we can't manage a rundown house on 2 acres out in the country, 600 miles away, and that's the challenge that we've had.
Congressman Keene,
thank you.
I was going to say if you had a question, but I wouldn't turn down land because they're not making any more. I don't care where it is, honestly. And if the issue is because we can't manage it, so do you have like a? I guess the way you would score something or analyze it to decide whether you want it or not, or how does the board address that when you bring that to the board? Are they rating it and saying, okay, this is not going to fit us because we can't manage it? Or are you reaching over to the nation and saying, hey, we've got this wonderful opportunity that they want to donate land. We can't manage the property because it has an old house on it, but maybe you can.
We've had those conversations. The challenge has been that the people who are donating it want the charitable donation element, so it's got to come to us for that to happen. But I would also say, sort of what feeds into all this is we can't in good conscience or being good fiduciaries take a piece of land that we have no idea what's happened on it in the past 200 years. I mean, it could have been a service station at some point in time, and it's a Superfund site. So what we find ourselves in, I mean, the very first time I wind up driving up to Kansas to look at a piece of property, and I swear there could have been a dead body buried on it. I mean, it was that run down and that problematic, and all it did was make me drive back and say, wow, we really better be sure what we're getting into if we're going to accept property. But to answer your question, yes, we have passed on ones that we thought were either beyond our capabilities or our willingness to the nation.
So also as a nonprofit, though, can't you act as a pass-through to the nation?
No, not technically, no. I mean, it would have to be...
You can with monetary, just like you guys did with Dagehaw as a pass-through, but you can't do that with assets?
It would have to be what is called a restricted donation. And by that, it means if we accept it, we have to agree to the donor's wishes for it. But they're not calling wanting to get it to the nation. They're calling wanting... I could get into...
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how it is that we could together determine if we have a piece of land and we're saying, no, that's too much for us to handle, how we can figure out how we handle it. You know, what is the rating? How do you guys, the board members, how do they score that is what I'm interested in to say they don't, that this is not a good fit.
We are not currently scoring an individual piece of property. We are currently acting on our board's overall thought process that us accepting 1 or 2 acres of land with an old home site on it, which is what most of them are, we're not getting to the point of whether that piece of property makes sense. It's on a bigger picture of whether we want to be in that business or not, because it is a business. It's accepting property and becoming a landlord.
Yes, it is.
We'd have to carry insurance coverage on every one of those pieces of property. You know, we'd be paying ad valorem taxes. We are not. We do not get a break from ad valorem taxes. We have to pay those on the ranch property and anything else we owned. So we're not drilling down to the point of whether this piece of property is good or not. We have not done that to this point in time.
Okay. Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Webb, for an excellent presentation and update with what the foundation is doing. I greatly appreciate that. Very well done. You know, we talk about going forward and fundraising and tourism here at the nation. I've always felt like I don't know if we've missed an opportunity that was golden with us maybe 10 years ago when we had the lady across the street really developing and bringing the people into the town. But, and this may be a question for Julie, but is there anything we can do with the movie as far as how the foundation can get involved with that and promote maybe some fundraising from that standpoint? I'm just asking.
Can I respond to one? Come on up. I just want to respond to one thing. We've had several conversations with Leonardo DiCaprio's foundation about them wanting to make a donation kind of in honor of him being a part of the movie. Fortunately or unfortunately, we've never been able to pull that off, and it's been hours and hours of conversations because his main issue, and I think I can say this publicly, is he cares about women and families who are abused or otherwise impacted, and that simply doesn't fit our mission. So to Congresswoman Rivard's point, we said we could accept a donation and then pass that wherever it goes as a restricted donation. But after hours and hours, we still haven't had any success with that. So that's one specific way that we have worked on it.
There are a couple of things that I know that are being discussed. Some of it Chad is handling since he's not on the foundation. He has more autonomy to go and talk about this than we do. But one is John Shaw had called, and they had spoken about a possible exhibit of the costumes, of which, like going down to their Atlanta showroom or their facility and going through the boxes and getting all of what's the best out of there is a lot of what I've been doing for all of the premieres, because I set up for every single premiere overseas in here. So I think it's something where, similar to the Hard Rock, it could be a possibility that we put in an exhibit that would be on loan from Apple. But one of the conversations that Bill is going to have with Kim. I think that we should do an opening of that for several months and charge admission for people here in Oklahoma to be able to come and take a look at that and really to sit down and kind of see. And it's something that can constantly be changing. In my mind, it's like if we have an opening and charge people to come in and see Voices from the Drum, that's money that could go into the foundation. Then the second thing they do is have another exhibit. We could sit down, and that's in conjunction with their roundup. But it's marketing on all levels that I can see for anything that's going on in our nation. If we want to put a placard up for something, even though it's coming through the foundation, but we want to talk about language, maybe that's something else that language could set and put together and have something rolling through. Because there was a lot of language in that movie. There's a lot of arms and legs to what we can actually market and do with that, which is really going to be, if we can sit down and come up with the ideas to do that and be creative, and we take it to people like Apple or other donors, we can then sit down with a piece of something very tangible to be able to lure them in and to talk to them. And one of the things that I know that Apple really loves to give money towards is language. They're very much about that. So there are things in the works. I think there's probably more to come, but it all takes time, energy, work out of our regular lives to, you know, come and sit down and come to these ideas. But it is definitely something that's being worked on.
Okay, committee, any other questions?
Congresswoman Remar, can I say one last thing very quickly?
Well, let's see. I would say so, Mr. Webb.
We don't get this opportunity very often. And I've always felt like we have missed the opportunity for both the executive and Congress to understand what kind of tool slash weapon the foundation could be for the nation. So, I mean, I could get into specifics, but for example, when we first were asked to do this, part of the charge was let's give back to the Tulsa community because there are people who feel like we're pulling money out of that community through the casino. So let's use the foundation to dig back into the community. And we did that for a couple, 3 years until the institutional knowledge of why that happened went away, and then we never did it anymore. I would simply say that the foundation is, to your point about getting the land to the nation, if that's where it needs to go, the foundation is a vessel through which I believe the nation could take much more advantage of, for lack of a term, to help develop certain things. I thought you might go somewhere else with the tourists. We asked one time to take over the visitor center, and we're told, no, that's not in the plans. It fits because now our online gift shop is competing with the visitor center for the same items. We send things here, and this all happened, you know, years ago. But that's an opportunity where the foundation could have gotten involved. That's before anything down the street had been developed, and we could have been on the front end of that process, and now we're where we are. And it's water under the bridge. But there are opportunities, I believe, for the nation to use the foundation as a tool, and I just don't feel like that's ever in anyone's mind. And I would love to see us assume that position inside the nation. End
Thank
of sermon.
You. Our second speaker, Shaw.
Thank you very much. You know, Chair Rivard has a background in nonprofits. Most of us don't, although at some level we've been involved, you know, in fundraising in some kind of way, but maybe this would be an opportunity because I think this would be good for me. You know, I can only speak for myself. When you talk about this engagement or understanding or things that Congress and executive might benefit from or need to know, let's have a training. Let's have a really nice training.
We'd
presentation
for
you guys and really dig deep into what those possibilities are. I've learned a great deal about nonprofits just from sitting next to Chair Revard, so.
Thank you, second speaker. And, you know, I one of the things that, you know, that I hear about our foundation, folks miss the gala, they do, and I've explained to them that it is costly, and the golf tournaments, it's costly to put on events, and then the return doesn't look so fabulous. But at the same time, there's also what you call an opportunity cost, right, to be out there and be in the public. And so to say, here we are, what's different about our foundation is that we don't have an office. We don't have a place for people to go. They can't see, touch, or feel it, right? Like we do our other governmental offices. So sometimes when we talk about the foundation, it's something in the air to them. They don't, like, well, where is it? Where are they? And I've always, you know, felt like at some point I would hope that the board would move towards, we want a presence, that they would love to have a presence. Where that is, I don't know. That would be up to the board. But to have a presence, that there's an office that you walk into and you see a development director and you see the director and you see, you know, that brings them to more life. And I see this opportunity, as I mentioned, and, you know, I think it was GovOps, I can't remember which committee, honestly, where we met with Chief. And I think that was Chief's goal. I think that was a great meeting last week. Trying to get the right people to the table to make good decisions going forward. I'm not sold. I hear you, Mr. Webb, on the actual cost of those projects. I'm not. I feel like they're just in the conceptual design phase. But the point is, if we have folks that want to donate, I feel like that it needs to be an easy process. They love the gala. I know it doesn't bring in a bunch of money, and I know it's a lot of hard work. But then you were present. You were being talked about, and there was action. Everybody loves the ornaments and things of that nature. But we've kind of been stuck in a rut. I feel like we're doing the same thing over and over. You know, I don't see that we're doing anything that's outside of the box right now. It's kind of safe. You know, we've been doing the drum project for some time, but I feel like now you have some great board members. We were getting ready to, you know, discuss reappointment of Ms. O'Keefe and moving forward. I think that meeting was really good, and hopefully we can move forward and our folks can participate. You're right. I mean, there's participation all over. If you remember, Mr. Webb, even when I worked on the executive side, another option that we brought about was employees donating to the foundation, you know, through their paychecks as an option if they wanted. Yep. Even the gaming, we had literally had employees say, I would totally donate if I knew how to, if that was available to me. But it fell on deaf ears. But I felt like it was a good way to generate money and get community buy-in. So, but if the committee doesn't have any other questions, then I just want to thank the board for coming and doing this presentation. I like hunka session because what I've learned in my term is that this is the session that we have our boards come and give us an update so we can kind of see what maybe could happen during CEJO.
Well, thank you. And let me just say about that office, part of our thinking in taking in having the visitor center here, it would give us a presence here. I mean, that was very strategically why we had that conversation. So, and then about the gala, again, that's a conversation that we're having with the casino. They like the idea of doing it. I like the idea of doing it if we can stand it up and say, this is specifically what we're raising money for, instead of just saying, well, we're raising money and we'll let you know how we're gonna spend it later. So the more sophisticated the donor, the less open they are to that concept. So I think we may be able to make progress. I agree completely. Sometimes you just got to do it because it needs to be done, not because it's, you know, a huge moneymaker. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Webb. Any other questions, committee? All right. Well, thank you to you and your board for showing up today. We appreciate you. We do. We appreciate everything that you do, and so thank you. Committee, the next item is an update on the proposed cemetery, and that is item number 9. And I think Secretary Johnson is on the line. Or Justin, is that what you're doing?
Yes, ma'am. We're both here.
Okay, good afternoon. We were just wanting an update on the cemetery and where we are on the fencing, and just an update on when that project will be completed.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. So it's been bid out. It's been awarded. We have a pre-construction meeting with the contractor next Thursday, and more than likely start construction the week after that. And it's 225-day contract, so estimated completion date's about December 11th.
Okay, so the project will be completed by December, is that what you're saying?
Middle of December.
The middle of December, okay. So what about, you want to talk about what does that plan look like? Are you guys going to do the roads first? Are you doing the fencing now?
Yeah, the roads, the fencing, the landscaping, there's irrigation. It's all included in this contract. The fencing is decorative iron fencing with stone mason pillars. The entryway will have two big mason like entryways. There'll be flagpoles, sidewalks, lots of landscaping trees, and it all fully irrigated.
So I was going to ask Casey, have you and Justin in your cemetery, are you looking at how many plots that the area could hold at this time?
Yeah, I've done some research on that, and it's anywhere from, depending, it really varies how tight you want to have the burials, but we can have average is 800 to 1200 burials per acre. So I average that about 1,000 an acre. It's a 15-acre site, but we're using about 3 acres of it for sidewalk and roads. So that leaves about 12 acres for burials, which is an average of around 12,000 burials.
Okay. Congresswoman Stabler?
Out of that 15 acres, what about the structure? Where's the, I don't know what to call it, but the lab or the garage is going to go?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question?
The funeral home piece of it.
Did you, or Director Carr, did you hear the question?
I'm not sure, but right now there's no structures on the site.
So I think that the question is, correct me if I'm wrong, Congresswoman Stabler, she's asking about the actual funeral home as it relates to the cemetery.
Yeah, right now, I don't know where the funeral home's going. This project is just the cemetery.
Casey, can you describe the location of the funeral home, please?
Yes, ma'am. All Justin has is a cemetery. The funeral home is going to be located, or the planned location is just east of where that last fence would be. So, on the east side of the cemetery.
Okay.
Same road. I mean, that I don't know the name of that road, but that road that goes down to the east.
Well, East Evergreen Street.
Okay, understood. I know exactly where you're talking about. Any other questions?
I guess the question I have then is, who's working on those plans?
That project is, the scope is done, and it's supposed to be out for bid right now. So it's still in its, advertising window is what you would call it. That's where it currently is right now.
Okay.
Once we get an architect engineer on board, then that's when we'll be able to know, you know, exactly what the answers to your questions are.
Congressman Keene?
So the cemetery will be on the east side of the Highway 99 across from Miss Kitty's, is that right? The cemetery?
Correct. Yes, sir, that's correct.
Thank you.
And then the funeral home would be east of that.
Any other questions, committee? Okay, I think last time, Case, when we were speaking, is that piece of property, is that still leased out, or you guys are addressing the lease currently?
As a matter of fact, now that you've mentioned that, yes, the lessee got in contact with me last week, I think it was, and we're going to work through that issue.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to keep everything outside the cemetery still leased, because that still brings money in, but that's going to obviously reduce the amount that we can get for it, because we're going to reduce the pasture by, I don't know, 20 acres or so.
Okay. Any other questions, committee? Okay, hearing none. Justin, thank you. Thank you, Casey, for joining the call and giving us an update. We do appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. The next
thank
item,
you.
You're welcome. The next item then would be, we don't need to go into executive session, so the next item would be adjournment.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes. Any opposed, say no. Okay, thank you, committee. We are adjourned.